Trek Avenue. And then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue.
Here we are at Rosie on the House, talking really about one of the most complicated things in the entire universe, electricity. And I can't wait till APS, and they've committed to me they will do this, bring someone on. I need an electrical engineer, physicist that can describe to us what is electricity. You know, Romy, once you make it, you can't. Well, this is changing. Technology is changing it. But historically, you've got this power plant, wherever it is, whether it's natural gas or coal or hydroelectric, and you're just churning them turbines, baby, and you're making them amps and them watts and them volts, and you're sending them down the line, baby. What happens when it gets to the end of the line and nobody's bought it? It's not like the CAP Canal. The CAP Canal takes water out of the Colorado River, traverses it across the great state of Arizona, and dumps into Tucson. And if there's water still in the ditch in Tucson, we recycle it. We pump it into the ground and return it to our water table. Dave, you can't do that with electricity.
No. No, it's once you make it, you had better use it. In fact, I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, we had an article last week about batteries, and we're testing out batteries in different places to actually store excess, especially we have so much excess solar here in Arizona that we'd love to hold on to it and then use it when everyone comes home at 4 o'clock, flips on their switches at a million homes. And so right now we're testing it on like a few batteries, and they're like 1 megawatt batteries. And it's very, very nascent, very early stages, but we'd love to get there. So in the meantime, though, some people say, well, why if you have these batteries? Because all my friends are always like, well, why don't you just store it? You know, use the storage. I'm like, there is no storage. That light that you're looking at right now, that just happened. That generation just happened. So we're getting there. It's early. but at the end of the day, we're hoping someday to get to more storage and shift that energy that's produced in the middle of the day to the evenings when everyone is using it at a higher rate. But until then, we're trying to use these rates and the rate changes to actually reflect the way customers are using electricity.
I think if people could get a grasp, and I only have a very vague grasp of it, but of what goes on in your power monitoring booths. I mean, they look like NASA space stations. Mm-hmm. And you're monitoring power being consumed by Martha's food blender, as well as the jillions of megawatts that are circulating all the way from L.A. to Barstow to Vegas to Albuquerque to Denver, and it's all being manipulated through these wires for peak efficiency consumption. That's complicated.
So, Rosie, I'll share with you. In my nearly 15-year career at APS, I spent about 7 of those years on our power marketing and trading floor on the real-time trading desk. I actually was the supervisor of that group for a few years. And you're exactly right. It is interesting. You can see in the load pattern every day, essentially human behavior, especially during the winters. You can tell when everybody gets up and they're turning their heaters up and they're starting their coffee makers. And we see a little bit of peak in the morning. And then when everybody goes to school and to work, we see the low drop off a little bit, especially in the months like today. And then when they come back home in the end of the day, you can see that load pick back up. And part of what APS does every day is make sure that we have the appropriate, we are forecasting the appropriate customer usage, and that we've got the appropriate resources lined up in the most cost-efficient and effective way. So that can be through a combination of sources, whether that's one of the generating stations in APS's portfolio or through market purchases. So California, our neighbor that's just right on our doorstep, right? They obviously have some pretty aggressive renewable energy standards. And so they actually sell a lot of power to APS, and sometimes at a negative price, meaning they pay us to take that energy. Yes. And so we absolutely look for those market opportunities to pass those savings along to our customers as well.
Well it's complicated, to say the least. Well, let's get back to the rate change that we're dealing with in Arizona with your customers. Let's take Wayne, who's been on hold here for a minute. He has a question about the logistics of it. Wayne, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Rosie. I have actually two questions. One of them, in on your website, it said we had until May 1st to pick a plan, but Friday I got in the mail a letter from APS that said I have until the 6th of March. So what does that mean, number one? And I want to keep it separate from my second question, which is when APS, on like the 18th of, or the 9th of January, said they're going to decrease their rates thanks to the Trump tax plan. So if you could answer those two questions, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, so great question. Moving 1 million customers over to the new rate plans is highly complex. The first part of the rate change was making sure that, and most or all of you should have received communications from us talking about what your best option was, meaning we analyzed your usage and we sent you out a letter saying, this is your best option. And if you didn't make a choice, we're going to move you over to a like rate, meaning a rate that is very similar to what you are actually on today. And so first, part one happened of that. We have letters in the mail. Take a look in your mailbox. You might, if you haven't read it already. And it would send you to aps.com/pick-a-plan. And there you'd actually put in just your account number and your zip code, take you in. It'll show you your best rate, and it'll show you your like rate. You can make a choice right there. But for those customers that did not make a choice, and we're coming up to May 1st, and we're mandated to get everybody moved over by May 1st, we have to migrate those customers over to their like rate. And that takes some time. We can't just flip a switch and move a million customers over. There's communications out to the meters. It takes some time. So we have to do it in blocks. So you are correct. We did send out a letter actually saying we're going to be moving you within this period of time. You still have an option to make, you still have time to choose the best option for you. But in the meantime, you're in a block that's being moved over so that we can make sure that we meet our May 1st deadline. So it's a little more complex than just moving everybody over on April 30th. We need to move everybody over and make sure they're done by May 1st.
And it can be tough for a typical homeowner to analyze the new rate. I mean, it's complicated just to teach them about their current bill and through all the particulars. I mean, I can tell a lot about a family just by looking at their power bill. I can almost guess the size of the house, how many people live in it, whether they have a pool, whether it's dual energy or not. Some people get kind of scared when I just look at their bill and I tell them, you know, so much about their family. But I forgot where I was going with that. And then they have to analyze the new bill and they don't understand it intuitively as I have, or studied it as hard as I have. So what if they make a mistake and pick the wrong plan?
Sure. So, you know, normally we would ask customers to stay on a rate and they can make one change per year. But now you'd actually be able to make two changes this year. So if you get your letter and you make a choice and you're like, no, I want to stay in the like rate. And you're like, no, I should have gone on to the best rate per the analysis. You can still move over. So you still will have that ability within the first year to actually move essentially twice.
Okay. All right, and the second part of Wayne's question.
Yeah, the second part we're very excited about. We filed earlier this year at the Arizona Corporation Commission to return about $119 million to APS's customers as a result of the Federal Tax Cuts and Job Act. We just received ACC staff's report on that this past week, and late yesterday, the open meeting schedule came out, or agenda, excuse me, came out for next week's contingency meeting at the Arizona Corporation Commission, and the commissioners will actually hear that. So we're hopeful that we're going to start being able to flow that $119 million back to customers beginning in the first billing cycle of March. And that's just phase one. So there's a second phase that will be coming back.
That's more than the rate increase was, right?
That is exactly right, Rosie, it is. So the rate—
What was the rate, 100?
$95 million.
Okay.
$95 million. So in phase one alone, we'll be returning $119 million to customers. We'll be coming back later in the year with what we're calling phase two. There's and again, I'm not a tax expert, but there's a more complex part of the tax act that deals with deferred taxes that we internally have to work through with our external auditors to figure out what's the best way to handle that funds and classify that. So we'll be coming back later in the year and refunding even more money to APS customers as a result of that act.
Carrie, let's go to one of these other homeowners that sent their bills. We've covered mine and the fact that I'm a very aggressive super cooling, very aggressive manager of my power. I can keep my consumption rate, and people call me all the time. And all I ask is, what's your total bill? What's your total kilowatts? Mm-hmm. And if it's anything over 14 or 15 cents, I tell them, look, try this, and you're going to see about a 15 to 20% savings at the minimum. We have customers that over the years were saying in the summer they were saving as much as 40 or 50%. Now, we've analyzed my bill. Let's go to someone who's a little less aggressive than me.
Sure. So we're going to start with who we're calling customer B. And we're just using customer B and customer A today so that we're protecting our customers' privacy.
Yeah.
But what we found is that this customer is on our time advantage rate. So that is our time of use service plan. It does not have a demand component that we know you're a fan of, and we appreciate that because it is a third way to save. But what we found is that this customer could save, again, with no behavioral changes at all, because we don't want to make any assumptions about what somebody might want to do in their home, is that this customer could save $65.30 by switching to the Saver Choice Max, which is the demand plan that you are going to be switching to as well. And even with this, it was a pretty comparable month over month comparison. So what we were excited about this customer is there is an opportunity for savings with no behavioral changes. So if they chose to be more engaged and use some of the options that are available to save energy, they absolutely could do better than that.
Dave, the demand rate, when you talk demand rate, mm-hmm. You can almost see people break into a sweat. It scares them to death. I've had to talk people off the ledge of demand rates for 20 years.
Sure. So I'm an APS customer, okay? I'm an APS customer. I've been at APS for 3 years. And when I got in the door there, I was like, what is this demand component, you know? And I understand it. I get it. But once you start focusing on, it's all about staggering. It's all about taking the biggest appliances that you use and making sure you don't use them at the same time. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to talk about pool pumps, okay, put them off on off-peak time. But if you're going to make dinner, go ahead, make dinner. But don't do laundry at the same time. And so making sure that you are staggering the use of major appliances, you're going to be okay. I promise you.
And one of the ways I've been able to really milk it dry is with multiple air conditioners in my house, I stagger the thermostats. Mm-hmm. I don't ask the whole house to come down at once. I ask the kitchen and living area to come down just at off peak. And the bedroom can sleep for another hour while this is coming down. It shuts off. The other one goes up. It's all about managing your power consumption. That's why we're here at Rosie on the House, to educate you on that topic with guests from APS. We appreciate y'all joining us. We're going to come back and cover more about how you can make this work at your home.
We were talking about lawns and how to keep a weed-free lawn in the Outdoor Living Hour with Jay Harper. And if you've got ryegrass still and you're seeing a weed problem coming up from the recent rains, starting down there low towards the soil, well, you can hit it with Bonide's Weed and Feed. The Weed and Feed is labeled to kill the same 200 annoying weeds that Weed Beater Complete, but it also has a feeder for a nice light 8 to 10 week feeding for your ryegrass. That's a perfect application for getting it through this spring, summer, about the time we want to start killing off the rye to bring the Bermuda in. So keep it looking healthy and keep the weeds out with Weed and Feed. You can find Bonide products that are family made in America right here in the state of Arizona at all three Summerwinds locations in the Phoenix area, Savano's Nursery in Tucson, and Christopher's Garden in Lakeside for our White Mountain listeners. That's Bonide Weed and Feed.